Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. And we are talking some Green Bay Packers football. It's the month of April. Without a doubt, we're talking NFL draft. Also going to be commenting on those new Packers Nike uniforms. But yeah, today's show, we've got an interview with the NFL Network's Chad Ruder. Excited to be talking with him. Wisconsin native Chad Ruder. He's been an inspiration to a person like myself, a guy who comes from Wisconsin, grew up not too far away from where I live right now, grew up in Wanakee, Wisconsin, and now working for the NFL Network, and NFL.com is their senior researcher. A lot of his work focuses on the NFL draft. That's where his background is. Used to write for NFLDraftScout.com. Before that, actually, he had written for, created his own site, PackersDraft.com. Doesn't exist anymore. But that's where Chad started out. And now he's climbed the ladder at the about the peak of where you can get as far as analyzing the NFL draft for being an employee of the NFL himself. So that's very exciting, and I think we'll get to that here right away. Actually, I had to talk with Chad yesterday. He lives on the West Coast. The NFL Network is headquartered out in Los Angeles, and that's where he lives. It's pretty early out there, 6:30 a.m. right now, Pacific time. So I caught up with Chad yesterday, recorded an interview with him, talking about all sorts of NFL draft topics. So enjoy, and I'll get back to you as soon as this interview is done. We're being joined by Chad Ruder of the NFL Network, senior researcher there, whose work also appears at NFL.com. Chad, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate having you, and let's kick things off right away with your mock draft that appears at NFL.com. You've got the Green Bay Packers taking Boise State defensive end, outside linebacker hybrid Shay McClellan, who seems to be rising up draft boards of late. What is it about McClellan that makes him that you see him making this jump?
Well, I think he's actually been fairly similar. I mean, even the beginning of the year in the opener against Georgia, he really challenged Cordy Glenn, left tackle for Georgia, who was sort of learning the position still because he was a guard before. But even in the opener, you saw, you know, some kind of pass rush ability from him, and he's just a solid overall player. Some people, I know in the mock that the Packers passed on Brooks Reed last year, who, a lot of people coming out of Arizona thought that he could be a pretty good 3-4 outside linebacker. And when he played for the Texans last year, he proved that he's going to be a starter for a long time. And I think, Shay is kind of a similar type player, sneaky athleticism, but also a solid player and plays with good attitude. So I think Green Bay and some other teams at the end of the first round are looking at him as you don't want to say a safe pick because he can make plays, but as a guy that's worth, is going to work hard for you and is worth taking in the first round, maybe over some other guys that you're not quite sure about.
Rather interestingly, you have Alabama's Courtney Upshaw being taken one pick later at number 29 to the Baltimore Ravens. What makes him a little less appealing than a player like McClellan?
I think the Packers could certainly look at Upshaw, but he is not necessarily an explosive player. And some teams, I think Baltimore is looking for, they just lost Jarrett Johnson as a free agent. And what they're really looking for, and Green Bay is looking for a similar guy. So, again, I considered putting Upshaw there. But I think if teams, 3-4 teams looking at Upshaw as a linebacker are not looking at him as a DeMarcus Ware or even a Clay Matthews in terms of a pass rusher, but a solid guy on one side who can set the edge and play the run very well. And then also, if he's given a lane to the quarterback, he can take advantage of it. So I think that's why he's a late first-round guy, maybe mid if somebody really likes him. But and some people aren't even sure if he's really linebacker at all. But I think if you draft him as a linebacker, he's not going to be dropping into coverage all the time. Not every 3-4 linebacker spends a lot of time covering tight ends in the flat and things like that. So I think that's kind of a misconception that you have to be great in space to play 3-4 linebacker. But I think both McClellan and Upshaw are going to be in the Packers' view finder if they're both available to them. And you'll note that Green Bay in the last few years has taken a guy that fell a little further than people thought. So maybe an Upshaw would fit that bill.
While we're talking about outside linebackers, again referencing your mock draft here, one pick before the Packers, you have the Patriots taking Illinois' Whitney Mercilus. What do you think about his ability to make the transition to outside linebacker from defensive end?
Yeah, I think he is he and Andre Branch from Clemson are a little more typical of teams that like the long players, the taller players, the 6'3", 6'4", guys with 33, 34, 35-inch arms that can control the edge. And I think there's kind of a lack of elite pass rushers in this draft. So guys like Nick Perry from USC, Mercilus, guys like that may end up going even a little earlier than I project on the mock. But I think Mercilus will fit. I think he's proven with his work at the pro day and the combine that he's got the agility to move if you need them to move in space, but really it's going to be his pass rush ability that the teams are really going to be interested in, and obviously the Patriots are a team that definitely need that.
Now, with Tuesday being Notre Dame's pro day, I think the time is appropriate to talk about their players a little bit. Is wide receiver Michael Floyd a top 10 draft pick?
Yeah, I think he will be. I think the difference between him and Justin Blackmon is pretty small. And I think if you put Michael Floyd in Oklahoma State's offense, he would put up very similar numbers to Blackmon, I think. The fact that Blackmon did not have, excuse me, that Floyd did not have great quarterback play during his time in Notre Dame hurt his production. And, he's got off-field issues and Blackmon doesn't. And that may be, in the end, the difference between the two on some teams' boards. But I think both guys are similar enough where I expect both of them to end up in the top 10, somewhere between picks 6 and 10.
Another player that might be interesting to Packers fans could be safety Harrison Smith due to the uncertainty at the position with Nick Collins' status up in the air right now. Is Smith ready to be an impact player at the NFL level?
He's got the potential to be a pretty good starting safety. I think if he goes in the top 40 picks, it's partially just because there's not a lot of talent available at that position. I guess you can't count out anything in the draft, as we've seen over the years. But I think if Green Bay saw him as good value, if he was available, still available in the 40s or the 50s, maybe they could make a move to get him. But really, in terms of a late first-round pick, I would think there would be somebody of better value. And again, we don't know what the situation with Collins is, but they certainly do need to upgrade their depth at that position.
And kind of sticking with, talking about needs of the Packers here, the Packers, after they signed Jeff Saturday, they kind of fixed that position at least temporarily, but they still have a long-term need at the center position. And Wisconsin's own Peter Kahns here is one of the top-rated guys. Is he first-round material?
Yeah, I think late first-round. I think, really, when you talk about when you get out of the top 18 to 22 picks, depending on the year, you're really not talking about true first-round value guys anymore. I think when you get to the end of the first round, you're really outside. You're really talking about guys that could very easily be second-round picks. And so I think Peter really, he is the best center in this draft. There's no doubt about that. The issue with Peter is he's had injury issues in his career, not just recently, not just this year, but in the past with ankle injuries where he missed playing practices and stuff. And I think, that's a concern to some teams. He's not quite the athlete of the Pouncey brothers and not quite as good a player as David DeCastro from Stanford, the guard who could easily move into center. if a team wanted him to. So I just think he's just a step below that. But in terms of a guy that you get in the second round, maybe the late first round, you plug him in, and as long as the ankles hold up fine, as long as the injury situation is a big deal, he's going to play for a long time. And if Green Bay decided to go that direction, maybe try him at guard this year, see if you can play some guard for them if they need him to, and then play center and learn from Saturday. That would not be a bad move.
Speaking of Wisconsin natives, Chad, you're a Wisconsin native yourself. Could you tell our listeners a little bit how you went from growing up in Wisconsin to working at the NFL Network?
Well, I've spent some time over the last decade or so, studying the draft, first with my own website, which some listeners may recall, PackerDraft.com, back in the day, and then from there, I just started doing different media outlets, different radio programs, and then landed with NFLDraftNote.com, which eventually partnered with CBS Sports to provide their NFL draft coverage. And this last December, I accepted a job with the network here, and so it's been quite a ride since over the last 10 years. But it's been a lot of fun, and it's a little crazy, to be honest with you.
Well, I know I've enjoyed reading your work over the years, and wish you all the best of luck there at the NFL Network, and think you're doing a great job there, too. So thank you for joining us on the show today, and thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian. And next time, we got to get Nagler involved in this. That's all I got to say.
Can you hear me, Mr. Sidney? All right. That is Chad Reuter of the NFL Network joining us here on Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. So thanks to him for joining us, and lots of great insight into the players the Packers could be considering during the NFL draft come April. So we will see. But thanks, everybody, for joining us. Our live blog director, Jamie George, is approving comments this morning, and let's get right to it. If you want to talk about the NFL draft, feel free to call into the show. The phone number is area code 347-352-0154. If you want to talk NFL draft, or we're going to start talking about those new Nike NFL uniforms that were unveiled yesterday. And I do have to say that it was a rather overblown event yesterday, I have to imagine. At least that's what it seemed to me following the event on social media like Twitter. So here the Packers, an absolute tradition, history laden franchise, and nothing changes with the Packers uniforms yesterday. Despite the speculation, despite all the thoughts that Nike will do what they've done to college uniforms, specifically what they've done to a school like Oregon and their pro combat style uniform, and change the looks of NFL teams. But, it just didn't happen. It happened with the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks got a major, overlook or makeover. That's the word I'm looking for. Makeover. The Seahawks got a large makeover, totally new look there. But as far as the Packers go, they were, you even go to the Green Bay Press Gazette today, and it says, that the Packers were one of five teams or something like that in the NFL. It was a small number that featured almost no changes whatsoever in the look of their uniform, even minor changes. Everything stayed the same from, the stripes on the arm to the stripes on the pants to even, the belt buckle on the pants. And they're one of, I think, the only team in the NFL that uses a zipper, actually, or something like that. So it's kind of interesting how little anything changed. And of course, tight end Tom Crabtree played the joke on April 1st, April Fool's prank, He wrote on Twitter that that he had heard that they're taking the G off the helmet for the Packers, and if you happen to follow him, it was very funny to see some of the reaction of fans who fell for the prank, or you know, fell for you know, what he was trying to accomplish there on Twitter, and of course totally untrue. And you know, I had heard the Packers website even had addressed it, that there will be no changes. So I actually had to, the organization had to make a statement on it, just on an April Fool's Day prank. So that was pretty funny. But yeah, nothing's happening whatsoever. And you know, I do see a couple comments here on the live blog about, you know, the draft, going back to Chad Reuter's interview here, and we have a couple comments here from a couple readers, and you know, going back to one from Cotton Joe here, and addressed to Chad, and unfortunately we don't have Chad with us anymore, and it was a pre-recorded interview, but you know, maybe I could attempt to answer this myself. Cotton Joe asks, does it make sense for TT to trade up, TT being Ted Thompson, to trade up for more quality this year? And, you know, of course, that's been thought about a lot. You know, the Packers have 12 draft choices this year in which to, you know, add talent to their team. And, you know, one might speculate with 12 draft choices, whereas there's only 7 rounds in the draft, that, you know, the Packers have ammunition to trade up if they want to. And if there's somebody they want to go grab, or go grab a talented player. And you know what? I would say the odds are that the Packers will trade up at some point in the draft. I mean, it seems like every draft, Ted Thompson will make at least one trade per draft. And typically, it seems to be more. Now, I would say the odds say it won't be in the first round, just based upon the only moving we've ever seen from Ted Thompson in the first round upwards has been Clay Matthews. So that's, you know, one trade up in the first round, you know. So the odds say he won't trade up in the first round. So, you know, that's what the odds say. You know, not to say it can't happen. You know, that the Packers traded out of the first round the year they traded for Jordy Nelson, or the pick that eventually became Jordy Nelson. If I'm correct, that was back in 2008. And the Packers had a late first-round draft choice, traded back into the second round with the New York Jets, eventually took Jordy Nelson as their top draft choice, even though it came in the second. I mean, there you go. I mean, certainly you can't take anything out of the equation. You can't make any assumptions, but, you know, maybe this is the time, once again, the Packers trade up in the first round. It's now been a couple years since Clay Matthews. This is now the fourth draft since that time, so there's been a couple years in between where they haven't moved up, and who knows? So, I mean, there you go. I mean, it's anybody's guess. It's mere speculation at this point, whether it's coming from Chad Reuter, myself, anybody listening to the show, or anything you could read on the internet anywhere, whether it comes from a so-called expert or, you know, just your regular Joe, just speculating. I mean, you just don't know. Comment from Baz Pack on the live blog. With Upshaw falling in a few drafts, meaning mock drafts, do you think he would be a good addition for the Packers? And I see the very next comment from Patrick on our live blog saying, please no Upshaw. It's very interesting how you're seeing Courtney Upshaw of Alabama fall in mock drafts everywhere. And really what this is, you know, due to, from my perspective, is that he has not had very good workouts. You know, if I'm correct, Courtney Upshaw didn't work out at all at the NFL Combine back in February. And just recently, he had a workout at his pro day in Alabama and did not perform very well at all. Actually, you know, the things they measure, the 40-yard dash, you know, the short shuttle, the three-cone drill, all those kind of things have been shown to be, you know, not as good as the guys who are typically thought of as going in the first round. All the other outside linebacker products, you know, Melvin Ingram, Nick Perry, Whitney Mercilus, people like them, you know, even Shea McClellan. Courtney Upshaw's measurables do not, you know, measure up with those guys previously mentioned. Now, of course, we've talked about many times, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, that he, he's not going to go out and run a 40-yard dash during a game. You know, so it all matters what happens on the field, and he's shown to be a good player on the field, but you know, they all pretty much have at this point. So it is interesting how much he's falling, and would the Packers grab him? You know, if he was available at 28, I think you have to consider him. You know, but again, it's going to depend upon who else is available and where they value them. You know, we just talked to Chad Reuter. He had the option between drafting both Shea McClellan and Courtney Upshaw, and he took McClellan. And very interesting, you know, as much as Upshaw we see sliding in mock drafts, you know, looking throughout the internet, you see McClellan moving up. You know, I think a month ago you didn't see Shea McClellan as a first round draft choice. So, it's all speculation here, but very, very interesting where these guys will go. You know, just people chiming in here watching the show. Ian Hanley, 75, commenting, "I would be happy to have Upshaw if he fell to the Packers at 28. Comment from Adam saying, "Upshaw can play on tape. I'll go with the tape." So there you go. We're all amateurs here. We're all speculating, and nobody is right or wrong. And we're not going to find out until these guys actually get on the field, and not even the practice field. Not until they actually get into a game will we know, how things will play out. So everybody has their opinion, and that's what the fun of this is. You know, taking April, taking this month, and kind of guessing what the Packers might do or what they should do here. You know, comment from L. Mills on the live blog. "Regarding Ted Thompson's philosophy of best player available, wouldn't some of his past drafts prove otherwise? The year he drafted Raji, Michael Crabtree was still on the board." Very interesting, comment there. I see the point you're trying to say between Raji and Crabtree. I guess if I were to speculate at that point, you know, I might say it's maybe not a hard and fast rule that Ted Thompson, you know, sticks to. At the point, you know, Michael Crabtree was available, the Packers had Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, Donald Driver, James Jones. They had all those guys, and maybe they thought, well, Michael Crabtree, maybe we can pass on a wide receiver this year. But I don't know. You just don't know. Maybe they didn't have Michael Crabtree rated as high as some other teams. It is hard to say because, remember going back to that year, Michael Crabtree held out into the season, you know, into the start of the season, and maybe the Packers saw those character flaws. They didn't want to deal with a guy or his agent that was going to hold out, you know, that maybe that factored into their decision about whether or not he was the best player available. Not so much in talent-wise, perhaps, but when you factor everything into it, you know, character concerns as well, maybe they did rate him behind B.J. Raji, and you know, it's turned out B.J. Raji has turned out to be a pretty good pick for them so far. You know, his career is far from over here, but so far turning out to be a good pick. And, you know, I suppose you look at other times where he has gone with players, you know, that doesn't seem to be a need. The year they drafted Jordy Nelson, they had James Jones, Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, and they go ahead and take Nelson when it didn't seem like this great need. Ends up being a good choice anyway. Just two drafts ago, the Packers, you know, at the time, didn't have any pressing defensive line concerns. They had B.J. Raji, they had Ryan Pickett, they had Johnny Jolly at the time, wasn't suspended yet. They even had Cullen Jenkins at the time, but yet they take Mike Neal and they take C.J. Wilson then in the seventh round, and you're thinking, wow, the Packers don't need any defensive linemen. Why did they take these guys? You know, again, it all goes to everybody's own opinion. You know, Ted Thompson, you know, thinks some best player available is different than what we think might be the best player available. Everybody's opinion differs, you know, and that's why the NFL draft is so interesting, because every year you see guys going higher than expected or lower than expected. You see people, you're just like, wow, you know, sometimes who is this guy? And it's, you know, it just everybody's opinion on people differs. And, you know, when you do it for a living like Ted Thompson and the scouting staff at the Packers, I mean, you get to know these guys, these prospects on a little bit higher level than you know, you or I might have. And they get to know them personally, and they can value things like character, perhaps judge character a little bit more accurately than we can when they talk to them and get to know them. And you know, get to know their personality and things like their smarts as well. And, you know, I bring up the word smarts, and all of a sudden, you know, what comes to mind is what happened to Morris Claiborne yesterday, the LSU cornerback, and perhaps the person who's been talked about as being the first defensive player drafted in this draft. Yesterday, his reported Wonderlic score was leaked by the media, and it was a low score. Supposedly had gotten a 4 on the Wonderlic, and you know, all of a sudden that's raising questions everywhere. You know, lots of questions are being asked, like, first of all, why was this leaked, and how was it leaked, and was it ethical to leak it? You know, what would be the purpose of you know, just releasing Morris Claiborne's Wonderlic score alone? You know, why just him? Well, of course, it was, you know, significantly low, and that's why it was leaked. But I mean, you know, what was the purpose of it being leaked? What did a team out there leak that in hopes that all of a sudden teams are going to turn on him and think, whoa, we better stay away from him now. He's not very smart, and hoping they fall to him. I mean, we can sit here and talk about this all day about the motives for doing this. And it's really interesting. I had read a column on the National Football at the National Football Post, nationalfootballpost.com, by former Packer safety Matt Bowen. And he kind of pointed out that Claiborne actually has a learning disability. And, you know, you have a little bit of sympathy for Claiborne now. And you think that, oh, well, okay, there's a reason he's got a low Wonderlic score. And you know, that's certainly a low score. It is not, you know, a measurement of how good of a player you are. It's not a measurement of IQ by any means. So, you know, it's very interesting how this all happened and what's going to happen because of it. You know, Bowen even suggested they find out who leaked it and that person should be fired. I thought, wow, that's an extreme measure, and I'm not even sure I agree with that totally, although I do think it would be unethical to let that information out. And again, I mean, we don't even know for sure if this is accurate or not. This is just something that's been reported, but, you know, who knows? Who knows? You know, that was big news yesterday regarding the NFL draft and how things could be impacted in the NFL draft. So, and that pretty much brings us here to 9 o'clock a.m. here on Railbird Central at CheeseheadTV.com. You know, thank you everybody so much for joining us. Thanks for Chad Reuter for joining us earlier to talk about the NFL draft. So glad to have him with us. And we'll be back on Friday here at CheeseheadTV.com for another episode of Railbird Central. So make sure to come back then and stick around all day. The NFL's preseason schedule is going to be released later today, so check that out on our website. We'll have all sorts of information on who the Packers will be playing this preseason. So, as Jamie Jors points out on the live blog, don't forget about Cheesehead Radio tomorrow night with the director of Last Day at Lambeau, Michael Nielsen, the director of the documentary film. So, check that out as well. And we'll see you, everyone. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kirivu. I leave you with a song called Believe the Lie by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you, everyone.